Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Oceana. Are you on?
I am.
Awesome. Let's
yes.
go.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay. Hello, everyone. This is Oceana LeBlanc and Stephanie Peterson with Practical Witchery. How are you?
Oh, I am on fire. I am on fire. I think this week has just been really intense. There's so much energy in the air, and I'm so excited to be here with you, Stephanie, and to really kind of dive into this. Yeah. So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I would love to talk a little bit about right thoughts and right thinking, if you're cool with that, Oceana, because as you just mentioned, there is a lot of steamy, hot, incendiary energy going on. And I don't know about you, but when things get kind of hot, that is when my thinking gets really erratic and kind of, not good.
Yeah, it's been intense. Yesterday I was in such a state that my husband and my son both like avoided interact. You know, they were very, very low key. And I found out today there were some things they wanted to tell me. They waited until that blew over. It's kind of like, you know, you're waiting for the hurricane to stop before you can go outside again.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So what? You know, and let me ask you, do you feel like it's okay to be like that? Do you feel like it's okay to have people to be scared of you or to give you the space? Or do you feel, because there's so many schools of thought on that, or do you feel like you should put on a good face, manage it with certain tools, and get out there and do your thing?
Well, you know, to be honest, I don't think there's any one right answer. I think it's probably unique to people. I think everybody's got their own way of dealing with things. I think there are more positive ways to deal with things than other ways on a whole,
right?
As a whole. And I think, you know, for myself, it's really, really important for me to get in touch with my anger so that in a safe space, like I wasn't, when I say they were, you know, afraid to say anything, I think it was more like, you know, they knew that adding fuel, adding kindling, adding, you know, lighter fluid to the you know, what
barbecue,
I was coping with was probably wiser to wait, you know, as you would with anyone who was upset. You wouldn't give them more bad news, right?
Right.
So it's like that. They knew that I had things coming up that I was seriously dealing with. But I think it's important when you become more conscious to have a container for that. Like I had a container for it. I wasn't out, you know, taking it out on everyone else in the world. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't starting fights. I wasn't, you know, I didn't take a gun and go to a public place. I just, you know,
right.
I knew that my anger was rising. And that, you know, I know what to do for myself to stay conscious and to get in touch with what's causing this, what is it about, you know, process it. But first you got to feel it, you know, got to feel it to know it's there.
That's interesting because, you know, that whole movement in the 70s, free to be you and me kind of thing, where it suddenly became okay to say, not just okay to say anything that was on your mind, even if it was anger, but it was encouraged. Don't bottle it up. It'll make you sick. Don't do this. Don't do that. And so then we went the other direction where we had people feeling it was okay to not have a filter and just behave or say, you know, things that could be hurtful to other people. So a container sounds perfect. And
it's
I'm curious.
So interesting. Because, you know, this was just up for me yesterday. I wrote some really hot posts. Okay. I was on Facebook and I'm like, you know, there are some things where I'm clear there's a line and I'm going to write about that in a much more passionate way than I normally do because I was impassioned. And that does not mean that I got on there and just cut loose. I also gave it a minute and I reread what I wrote because I'm really clear that people are looking, there are people out there looking to me for a, as a barometer or for, you know, it could be misconstrued. It could be, some of the things I say, if I'm not careful how I word them, it could be taken that, okay, get out there and rage at the world. And it doesn't matter who's in your way, just blow right through them. Like it could be taken
right.
like that. And that, and I edit, I look at it, I do my best. I'm not perfect, but I do my best to say, okay, and with responsibility and without harming others. Like that. Really important. And we know there are people out there currently who are in positions of power who they're not editing. They're not taking responsibility for the way that their words are rippling out over the globe. And that's people say, oh, words aren't anything, it's your actions. But guess what? I get news, people, words are powerful.
I disagree, yeah.
In fact, that's the first thing you have. That's the
first thing
you have. Yeah.
That's how we were all created, and then there was the word. And most cultures have creation stories centered around the word. So you're right. They're very important.
Much all of them.
Yeah.
And it used to be that your word was it. I mean, they didn't even have documents or contracts. It was just like, if you say so, you meant it. And if you were not a man of your word, man, quote unquote, then people knew about it. You know, they
knew
that somebody who will not keep their contract and they're not worth they're not worth their words. Don't believe a thing they say, you know, and do
Very
you want to,
true.
You know, it's like a choice. Do we want to walk around being the person that nobody believes?
Interesting. Yes, 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 yes. Oh my gosh, so much to talk about. And I'm still so excited by the anger, but I'm also excited by the words. So I'm going to ask you this question. What do you do to create a container for yourself so the words that you speak are actually words that are going to not harm someone and not harm yourself?
And you're my partner in crime here. So you and
yes.
I, we have a process. Bethy and I have a process. We do. In the morning, we have a phone call. You know, I think anybody that I know that's in a place of leadership or a teacher or a spiritual guide type person, they have a process that they do daily, a spiritual practice. And one of my spiritual practices is I get on the phone with Stephanie and we create space for each other to clear the stuff that's up and to call in the stuff that we are now affirming. And we do that every single morning, give or take once in a while if there's an emergency or something comes up. But we've been doing that for a few years now, every single day. And
yes.
it makes a difference. If we don't do that for days, we're both feeling it. We're both feeling it.
It's
a way of, you know, and when there's something really, like you said, incendiary coming up, some like really flaming emotive charge that either of us has, the other one holds space to let that person like take off the lid and
right.
in a space where it won't be repeated, where the person is holding you in love and just allowing you that to release the pressure cooker so that you can find out what's in the pot.
Right. And our check-ins every morning, for those of you listening, for me, really do give me a chance to, sometimes anger is just, it feels like vomiting at a wall. But when you really
yeah.
look at it, often anger, there are some themes in there. And there are some things that are very consistent that you may not be able to see because you've just got this wall of emotion. And so having someone hold that space for you while you do spew, and it does feel like you're spewing sometimes, it really does help. You finally start to see patterns and connections and, oh my God, I just realized I have been speaking for 5 minutes about this one thing. That's triggering me. That is what's triggering me.
Right.
And so it's very, very, very important.
Yeah, often when we aren't given that space, when we don't have that space that we've created with somebody we trust, to be able to really cut loose. As women especially, we can't even figure out what it is that's underneath. And oftentimes, you and I, either one of us, has been really surprised at what's underneath. It's like, whoa, we have these epiphanies in the space of cutting loose. And I think it's a particularly feminine thing. I think it's a feminine thing that women, we tend to talk things out with other women, and then we're able to organize our thoughts. We're then able to put our finger on the pulse of what it is that's rippling through us, because we really operate from the body. You know, our body is, it never lies. You know, for women, we have so many more nerve endings, right? And we feel our way through the world, and we are Shakti. We're like a creative force, and creativity is almost, I mean, I don't know any creativity that's neat and tidy. You know, for
it's
men, it's linear. They need to kind of go into their cave. They think about it. They work it out, and then they come out with their, you know, their statement or whatever. But for women, we really need each other. We need to, you know, or to write in a journal like crazy, or to be able to just scream and shout alone somewhere. And I think it's really, really important not to take it out on other people, because we can do some serious damage if we don't locate the anger and find out what's causing it and what that boundary is that's been crossed and how we want to create the boundary benevolently, then we end up doing a lot of damage to our relationships and to other people.
And to ourselves.
And to ourselves, yeah. Yeah. I mean, what is your favorite way to deal
with
it?
To get rid of anger? Yeah, well, one of my favorite ways is actually just stream of conscious, spoken word, Patti Smith style with you. That's my favorite way. But I do tend to do things like walking, and if there's a wind blowing in my face, it feels so much better to be like walking against wind when I'm angry. I do tend to eat crunchy foods when I'm angry. I'm very proprioceptive, so I like the like bumping up against things, so the pounding the pavement, crunching carrots, those kinds of things work for me really well. And I find if I don't get enough of those, I might just be bursting into tears. So I do tear up.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really angry. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I've been working a lot with the elements, you know, speaking of witchery, and, you know, getting into really, really deep connection with each of the four elements, fire, water, air, and earth, is so crucial to being a witch in balance and being able to practice magic. And so when you say the wind blowing against your face and feeling the wind, like there's something to that, because that's the element of air, and it's the element of thoughts. And so it's almost like you're saying, well, you've got the earth under your feet because you're pounding, and then you've got the air, which is helping you think things through, really.
Right.
It's the air. Absolutely. Air element is of the thought. So it's really interesting that you said that, because I'm seeing the relationship in how you process. And the tears would come, which would be the water element, if you didn't have the other two.
Right.
Yeah, and the fire, I think, is just the anger, really.
Yeah.
I really think, first chakra. Yeah. So the balance of all of it.
Yeah. Okay, and so I have a question for those people who don't have a way through their anger, whether it is someone like you and me working together, processing every morning, or just knowing what worked for them. How did you hit upon what worked for you?
How I hit upon it, and it's changed over the years. Like, I have different things that I do. For me, if I'm truly, absolutely enraged, I tend to, my body just goes to cleaning, vacuuming, doing dishes, just like straightening things up around me. It's kind of like, it's just, and I don't even know why, it's just a natural thing. It's like, if I get pissed off enough, if I'm upset enough, I, you know, to the point where I just can't even think, then I start cleaning, but I clean like a cyclone. It's not just, oh, I'm going to dust. It's like, everybody out of my way because this house is going to get clean in minutes, you know, like that.
Right.
And I just, it wasn't something I was looking for. I just started to notice that that's what I did.
Interesting.
My favorite ways are typing it out on a Word document. And or if I'm alone, really alone, nobody can hear me. Sometimes I will just talk it out. I will yell and shout everything that I'm upset about into an intentional sacred space for myself, so that I can hear, because then I can hear myself talking. And I start
to
notice
you doing that.
Yeah, I start to notice what it is that's really at the bottom of it, because I start to hear myself say it and I go, wow, I didn't realize I was so upset about that. Or,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, that must make me angry and I didn't know. And I think one of the reasons that women don't know is because we have been so well trained not to express anger that we don't even know sometimes that something's upsetting us. We become passive aggressive just as a mode of survival. You know,
right?
Yeah, which is why
it's
I
ugly.
Think some
passive
of these...
aggressiveness is really ugly. It's small. It's
really
petty. It looks really ugly. Just saying it, guys. But it's so natural. We know why we do it. But it's definitely not a pretty one.
Right. It is so not pretty, and it's so many other ways. You know, I mean, there's
mm-hmm.
some final
more powerful
passive
ways.
Aggressives that are just dangerous. I mean, especially, you know, the color purple, where, you know, Whoopi Goldberg is, you know, stirring spit into the lemonade.
Oh,
it's like, you know, that's anger.
Yeah.
And so if we can contain it so it doesn't leak onto other people. Because ultimately, it's really not about them. It's about our inability to set firm boundaries, which is a wounding. It's a wounding not to be able to set boundaries, right? It's like we don't set them because we're out of balance in that chakra, because we've been, you know, we've spent our lives in victim mode. Maybe we're victimized as children. And as women, a lot of us are victimized. Let's face it. You know, and so then you begin to learn that way of behavior, and then you attract situations because you don't have the boundaries. So ultimately, anger is your friend. If it's in a safe space and you can get real clear about what it is that's just got you so angry, then you know where the boundary is, and then you can start to set it. Even if it's uncomfortable, you start to put that boundary in place and go, you know what? I need to communicate to people that this is where my boundary is. I need to let people know, because then they won't cross it. And then they'll respect me, and then I'll respect myself.
Yeah, you build a muscle in doing something uncomfortable. Anytime you do something uncomfortable, you build a muscle, which makes other things easier to do.
Right. It's so true. It can be terrifying at first to begin to set those boundaries and to ask for what you need and want. And then what you learn when you really step into it with your fear anyway, and you just say it, is that, some people won't like it, but other people will respect you more. And then you get a little stronger, and then next time it's easier. And then after a while, it's like, you're so comfortable with your boundary that you just let people know, hey, this is it. This is how I work. And this, you know, this doesn't work for me, but that does. So please, you know, do that instead. And they're like, oh, okay. People are so relieved to know, so that they're not stepping on it, because nobody wants somebody to be resentful and not even know that they're upset at you. Like,
right. Or no healthy person, at least. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And it also is a form of keeping your word.
It is. It's very much. It's a form of keeping your word and practicing using your word to become more powerful inside of yourself, in the world.
I love that.
Walking through the world, we become much more powerful when we have clear boundaries. And boundaries, I look at them as bridges. because they improve relationships. You know, without boundaries, relationships don't have a container in which to really grow harmoniously. There just isn't one without boundaries.
You know what's interesting in witchcraft? We talk a lot about containers. I mean, we don't maybe actually use the word containers, but it just struck me that we have spoken about containers maybe three different ways just in the last 20 minutes. It's interesting, isn't
it? Yeah, you're very, very perceptive. So we did. We talked about them in terms of personal space and boundaries and what else?
Containers, like me holding, having a container for your anger, or you having a container for mine, so we don't harm other people. And boundaries and container for your wants and your desires, what you will and you won't do.
Real good, real
interesting.
Important. I mean, the whole world is made up of containers and in voids.
Right.
Because like
yeah,
know,
and
this
it's
whole,
also
this whole hermetic thing. You know, there's a rule, a universal scientific rule. You know, that the universe abhors space. So in order to have space, you kind of got to have a container because the container holds space, right?
Right.
And for that
right.
To be
even if
filled,
the container's empty. Yeah.
Yeah. For it to be filled, it needs to be empty. And so, like, this whole idea of, calling in how you want to be treated, calling in what you desire in your life, like, unless you've created a container or boundaries for it and spoken forth what you want and intended it, you're not going to get it. It will be filled, but it may not be filled with what you desire. Because the universe anything will fill that up. Anything that's passing by will fill up that container of you unless you clear it and you say, this is what I want next. This is what I'm a container for, you know, and you kind of put the word out, literally.
Yeah. That's interesting. Okay, so Oceana, we have about 5 minutes left, and I love this idea of creating a container. And for some of us, we know what that means, but for some people who are listening, that might be, what does that mean? Do I have to build a fence? Do I have to buy? I mean, what is it like they're actually picturing a container? So what does that mean to create a container?
Well, it depends on what it is. So, I mean, it could be exactly what you said. It could be a fence. If you want a yard where a bunch of anybody and everybody can't walk through it and you want to keep it more private. And it can be like for us in the morning, we have a set guideline to how we ask each other questions and then listen. And we do it with unconditional love and celebration of each other, no matter what kind of yuck comes out. If we're in an upset, you know, we're not always, sometimes we're celebrating, but when we're upset, you know, you still love the person and you celebrate that they're brave enough to have that come up and how, you know, like that. Like we have our guidelines for how we create that container. And really, I think it's just like, what is it you want to create in your life? Do you want to create, if you want to create magic, then you create a container with a sacred circle. If you want to, if you want to create new things in your life that you're calling in, then you create affirmations and the boundaries of what you're describing, what you want to call in.
Absolutely. And a container can be an hour that you spend doing nothing else but the thing that you want to do. A container can be a period of time, anything with a border. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's
absolutely
really good, too. It's like, say you just really want to rest and luxuriate because you have decided you need rest and you want to enjoy a book. Well, you would tell your family, I'm going to go in my room for 1 hour. I would like to be undisturbed, and I'm going to be resting and relaxing. And that's you creating that container. And when you let people know, then they know. And if they step over the boundary, you let them know you stepped over my boundary. you know.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good
for everyone.
How about
you? Tell me some. What do you have any ideas about how you? What is your? What are some boundaries that maybe you're seeing that I miss here?
Well, I've noticed for me, I'm in the, Oceana and I speak about this a lot. I'm in the process of really looking at who I'm spending time with. Not just you know, physically spending time with, but like who's texting me? Who do I talk to? Who do I listen to? Who do I consistently pick up the phone for or not? Mm-hmm. And I'm learning that there's certain people that really I want in my life, and there's certain people that really I don't want in my life. And it could be I love them, but they're really a negative influence. And so part of my container is putting a door between me and those people who are always maybe texting me negative things or who are always gossiping about other people. So I just create a door, and that's a container that helps me close off my personal container. So for me, a lot of it is just not engaging in certain behaviors or not engaging with certain people or not allowing certain people to engage with me in certain ways. And that I find creates an enormous container, a very strong container for good. It creates a lot of strength. It creates time that I can use to create things. So it's really, really a wonderful support for me to create a container against those day-to-day forces that we all deal with.
Yeah, really powerful. Really good. Wow, I love that. And it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. It's really when you notice anything that isn't working in your life or that's causing you distress or you want something to be better, if you put your attention on what is it exactly about it that isn't working, and then what can I do to create something different? And what you're doing is such a good practice, such an important
it,
and a
it,
wise,
it is
a
hard.
Wise practice. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not easy. No. Changing is not easy.
I will tell all of you, when you're trying to create a container for anything, things are going to come up trying to dissuade you from creating that container, trying to poke holes in it. It will come up. So to remain steadfast you'll find challenges around that.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
absolutely.
Wow, we're
so, yeah.
close to the half hour mark, but this has been so fun. We're going to be doing this every week on Tuesdays at 11. We're going to have a live show for anybody that wants to listen.
We are.
And each week we
will have a topic. Yes.
Yep, we'll have a new topic having to do with witchery, practical witchery. I have some things coming up, and I think you have some things coming up. I'm going to be doing in about 2 weeks, it's going to be aired. There's 20 or 24 women that are going to be doing a Talis Summit with Sacred Self-Care Women's Well. So keep an eye out
nice.
For that. And I know that you've got some juicy things happening.
I do. I have a book coming out and a few other things. And so if you look on this page, Oceana and I will have links to everything we have coming up. You can find us through those links as well.
Awesome. So we'll post those links for everyone. And please write in and ask us questions. We are so happy to talk about whatever's going to serve people. And this has been real fun today, Stephanie.
Thank you. It has been. And thank you all who are listening. Have a great week, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great week. Happy Turkey Day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.